Views on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, Reading. Ted Lighty here, and for Carl Bott, there's no way anybody can come in for Linda Bott. I do have two very pretty ladies in this morning. I've got Anne Marie Fuller and Christine Smith from the American Legion Auxiliary. You guys surprised me this morning because I didn't think you guys were coming on until 7:30 when we first talked. I said, oh, you know what? 7 o'clock. Why don't you guys just come in here? I got no idea who the guest is, and obviously they're late, so... Right on. I'm glad you're here. Welcome.
Thank you.
We always start with the weather.
Alrighty, let me take care of that. Today we have a high of 110, tonight a low of 79. Tomorrow, Thursday, a high of 111. Thursday night, a low of 77. Friday, a high of 110. There is an excessive heat warning now until 8 p.m. on Friday. We're just in the hundreds throughout the rest of the week. So, yeah.
Now, doesn't it get... Don't we get back in the low 90s next week?
It looks like starting next Sunday, 94, 93, 91.
You know, I never thought I'd say it, but that sounds cool.
It's about time.
I might go outside and get some work done or, you know, roll my motorcycle out and wash it maybe because it needs to be washed. I haven't done anything with it since July. So good. 93, 94, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Take it.
Yeah, so in the gun world, I don't know if you ladies know this or not, but I'm a gun instructor. SB 918 did not pass last week, just so everybody knows. I'm sure Carl has told everybody, but SB 918 was the very, very restricted concealed carry laws that had come out of the California legislature in response to the... Supreme Court's ruling on Bruin versus the New York Rifle and Pistol Association, which basically said that you do not need a good reason to carry a personal protection firearm on your body. You just had to be a qualified person. That means that you can be trusted with a personal protection firearm on your body. So guess what? The state of California is now in shock. We've got thousands and thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of, applications laying on desks of agencies, sheriffs and chiefs of police and other things across the state. Nobody really knows what to do with them or how to get them going because they used the good cause statement as a reason not to let Americans exercise their constitutional rights, their natural rights, right? Because protection is a natural right if you think about it. I'm in that business, and I'm now trying to help those agencies that can be helped and trying to become an authorized instructor in those agencies I never cared to go to before because maybe they issued two CCWs in their entire history as I've been here. So it's interesting and fun. I take probably a dozen messages a day just on the new rules, but I can tell you this. In Shasta County, it makes no difference because in Shasta County, for the last three sheriffs since I've been here, if you were a qualified person, you were getting a CCW anyway. You would have to go down to the Bay Area or other places like that to find sheriffs and chiefs of police. And, you know, basically it's very political because he's an elected official. If he starts issuing CCWs, his opponent will say, well, she put a gun in the hand of every person walking the streets. That's why the gun violence is so high, but it's obviously not true because they didn't issue them. But the idea that it is a constitutional right, it's a natural constitutional right. You know, we learned a lot about natural rights, right? And a natural right is something that just makes sense to everybody, like the right to protect your home. Right? That makes sense. Or the right to protect yourself. Or, you know, the right to speak out against something that you do not believe is just or correct. Right? First Amendment. The right to have your home private and secure against government. Right? They can't walk in, kick in your door and take what they want. You have to have a warrant issued by a judge. So those are all natural rights that were reinstated to millions of Americans by the Supreme Court. And, of course, I appreciate it. Of course, California turned right around and said, well, we're going to make the law so restrictive using SB 19, Senate Bill 918, that nobody will want one because it's so difficult to carry, right? So what they did was they looked at cities and towns across California and they checkerboarded them with prohibited areas, all parks, all athletic areas, all churches, all hospitals, all financial institutions. And they said, and their parking lots and the sidewalks that surround them. So as you can see, what this did was this set up a checkerboard across every city where you can carry and can't carry. So you would actually be stuck with driving 100 yards, putting your firearm away off your body, driving 100 yards, taking it off and putting it on. I mean, they knew what they're doing, right? There is nobody that would even think for one second that it would last in court, but it's got to get to court. And so it would be law if they passed it. But I'm thankful they didn't, and I've gotten a lot of questions and calls about SB 918 over the past month or two, and I just wanted to let everybody know at my first opportunity that law was struck down last week. So very good. Keep the messages and questions coming. You know, as an instructor, I've always told my people that they can message me anytime they want, and I will answer their questions. So I am still right here for you. So that was my opener because I'm very happy about that. Next, I want to introduce my good friends from the American Legion family here. We have our new auxiliary unit president, Anne-Marie Fuller. Anne-Marie comes to us with an extensive background, including having served on the American Legion Auxiliary 100th Anniversary National Committee, and was featured in the American Legion Auxiliary National Magazine. Oh, right on. Good. Fuller's a seasoned journalist, having worked with several news outlets, including Bay Area News Group, where she spent nearly a decade. Anne-Marie Fuller is a published writer, poet, former television host, and has served 3 4-year terms as a city commissioner. Most recently, Fuller was elected as a delegate for the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council. Welcome, Anne-Marie. Thank you for visiting us today.
Good morning, North State. It is wonderful to be with you this Wednesday morning. Thank you for having us, especially right now when we have so much on the plate with the American Legion family.
So, do you have an office, the American Legion Auxiliary President? You have your own office?
No, there is no formal president office. However, we do have a veterans hall that is in Reading on Yuba Street.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly where that's at. I'm retired Army, Carl is retired.
Thank you for your service.
Of course, it's fantastic. I think every young man should go serve in one way or another. In fact, I'm so to the right that I think we should have draft. I think you should go. I think service should be a thing that we all did as soon as we got out of high school or whatever we were doing. If we would go serve, we would all have some skin in the game, is the way I feel. And we'd all have something in common, which is something that I feel is becoming more and more rare. Right.
Well, we are the land of the free because of the brave.
Oh, absolutely. There is no question about that. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the pendulum swings both ways. When I went into service in 1985 was a difficult time. Inflation was very high. I think it was about 15% maybe to buy a home on a mortgage, APR on a mortgage. That's nuts, right? So you couldn't hardly buy a home. Good jobs were scarce. I was working at Kmart. I had just graduated from high school. And I went because I saw that as my best opportunity to go learn a skill and then get out. I was just going to get out. They offered me $25,000 to go to college, which in 85 was a lot, not much now, but in 85 it was, you know, that would get you through, especially in a state school. It worked out fantastic. Everything that they said they would do, they did.
Fantastic.
Now, I had to pull my weight. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times I talk to veterans young men or women who got in and decided it was too difficult for them or whatever and didn't end up doing their end of it. So the service sometimes doesn't do their end of it, right? It's a give and take thing, just like life is. So, I think it was probably the best place for me. And not that I was in trouble or anything like that, but it was a good opportunity. I enjoyed the environment. People are always telling me, oh, it's so, you know, hard and difficult. Let me tell you what's hard and difficult. Retiring, being in there, and then retiring and getting out and realizing that at any time on the street, somebody could be telling you something and lying to you. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen in the service.
We hear a lot from the veterans that they like the structure.
Absolutely.
They like the schedule, and returning back to civilian life is difficult.
Oh, so difficult. Mm-hmm. So difficult. And you think it's going to be simple because that's what your whole life was in the service, right? I mean, mm-hmm. in the service, if someone tells you to change the rotor nuts on the top of a helicopter and you don't, people could die. So you lying to me? You compromising your integrity to me, even as a private, we just put you out mm-hmm. because we have to believe at any time that we tell each other the truth for the good of everybody. But here on the street, it's not like that. It's one of my biggest complaints.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, we would like the public to get to know us. We actually have an event this coming Saturday and Sunday. We have an indoor, air conditioned yard sale. We have multiple vendors that will be there. In fact, we have a local author, Robin Simmons, and he will be there signing his books. We have Pampered Chef. We have a stained glass artist. So there's just a plethora of things that we are going to have. The indoor yard sale starts Saturday, September 10th at 9 a.m. and will go till 5 p.m. And then Sunday on the 11th, it will be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And it's located at the Veterans Memorial Hall at 1605 Yuba Street in Reading.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Now, you said Pampered Chef. Does that mean you're going to have food?
There will be snacks. We do have a snack bar that will be there.
See how big I am,
right?
Oh,
you have to have food with everything.
Oh, you got to have food, man.
Am I right?
Yeah.
God, you must have food. That is excellent.
And that it's indoors, excellent. So if you want to get out of the heat, folks, come check us out. And there will be members from the American Legion as well as the American Legion Auxiliary there.
That is September 10th. That's this weekend.
Yes, sir.
9 to 5 both days. Oh, 9 to 3 on Sunday.
Correct. So 9 to 5 Saturday and then 9 to 3 on Sunday.
That Veterans Memorial Hall, mm-hmm. Carl knows a lot about it. And I know about it too. I've also obviously been there many, many times. It seems like it's getting nicer and nicer. There's getting to be a lot. They've done a lot of work to that thing.
Yes,
over the years. Mm-hmm. And I am surprised, or maybe I just don't hear about it very much. Maybe you can tell me that it doesn't get used all the time because it's a nice space. Is there something going on there pretty much every weekend?
You book through the county. That's how it works. In some areas, you would book through the actual American Legion post, mm-hmm. but here you book through the county of Shasta. And there is activities here and there. Every month, there's something going on.
It seems like we could do more with that. It just seems like we could. When you say through the county, is there, it's not to the VSO, obviously. The Veterans Service Office doesn't have anything to do with that, I'm sure. What office? They have a county office that books the veterans all?
It's on Placer Street in Reading. And it's a county office. And
I'll have to ask about that.
But I'll tell you what, if you are looking, you know, you can get a hold of us and we can direct you on how to do that.
Oh, good. You can leave me your card or a number or something.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, we would love to see more activity there.
Yeah,
that would be absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yep.
But meanwhile, you can check us out this weekend.
Oh, yes, and we certainly will. All right, we are going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
This Sunday, Lake Redding Park will be smoking as those crazy yellow-shirted asphalt cowboys fire up the barbecues for their annual Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue Fundraiser. Partake of the finest fire-grilled tri-tip or chicken, salad, cowboy beans, garlic bread, and a beverage. Eat it there or use the convenient drive-thru. Place a bid at the annual live auction between 1 and 3 p.m. Tickets are $12 at the event or pre-purchase for $10 from any Asphalt Cowboy. Paint Mart's at Redding and Anderson, or Lulu's restaurant on Pine Street at Cypress Avenue. Lulu's serves great food and drinks at affordable prices 7 days a week. Soup, salad, sandwiches, steak, seafood, and Italian dishes. Everything is made fresh daily at Lulu's. And you can order prime rib any time of the day, plus the very best Bloody Mary in town. Catering and banquet facilities are also available with customized menus to fit your budget. Join us this Sunday at Lake Redding Park between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for the Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I am a combat veteran and a political moderate. I am pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I am not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
We are in the middle of fire season in California, and we've already seen major fires break out here in the North State. This is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. In Siskiyou County, the tragic McKinney Fire has caused at least 4 deaths and consumed over 60,000 acres. And some of the most dangerous months are still ahead of us. I'm working to improve federal forest management by getting more aggressive in thinning and clearing near power lines to reduce fire risks. We have delivered billions in aid for local disaster recovery and are fighting to stop FEMA from seizing money from fire victims who have received compensation from PG&E. I've also written a bipartisan bill to stop the IRS from taxing people's fire settlement dollars. In July, I offered amendments to federal legislation that would increase funding for water storage and fire protection. My office is here to serve you. Go to lamalfa.house.gov or give us a call. This is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Paid for with official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 22nd for Caffeinate for a Cause from 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m. $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay's educational programs. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
So I got a bunch of characters here with me this morning. First off, let me talk about one of my good buddies, Mike Huber at Estate Granite and Tile. Mike has been custom altering homes in Shasta County and beyond since 2004. 16 years in the same location off of Caterpillar Road. If you've ever been to his showroom, I've been there a couple times. It is, like 75% granite and all the stuff he does, and then like any good man or woman who's into it, the other 25% is race cars and things that go fast. So if you want to go look at granite and look at a really cool Corvette or a Razor or some other type of European race car that he actually does race, go see Mike at Estate Granite and Tile. A vocal supporter, a veteran, got kids that are veterans. He has an attention to detail and an eye for perfection. You can give Mike a call at 241-STONE. He is at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard off Caterpillar. And the last time I saw and talked to Mike, ladies, which was like just last week, he's still an eligible bachelor. So you can look up his picture. And he is interested in meeting somebody nice, so... You know, we always looking for Mike a girlfriend. He's probably gonna get mad at me one of these times. Yeah, whatever. All right. Richard Raker, welcome.
Good morning.
Richard Raker is the past commander of American Legion, post 197.
And District 2.
And District 2. And we are also joined by Rocky.
Yes.
And Rocky, I think he might take a nap.
Yeah, he's having a hard time getting up this morning.
Oh, yeah, good for him.
Me too.
He hasn't had his coffee and his dog food dish, his dog food bowl yet?
No, we haven't.
We love you, Rocky.
Yeah, I like Rocky.
Yeah, everybody likes Rocky.
Everyone likes Rocky.
They don't know me without him.
Nope. Anyway, welcome.
Thank you.
We've been having a fantastic show.
Good.
Christine and Anne-Marie and I have been getting along fabulously. Anne-Marie, you talked a little bit about some of the patriotic days that we have in September that we might not know about.
Absolutely. In my opinion, September is one of the most patriotic months on the books outside of the month of May. We know that May is Military Appreciation Month, but September has a lot of patriotic days. We know we just went through Labor Day. Everyone knows about Labor Day. And coming up this Sunday, we have September 11th, Patriot Day. And that's a very important one to remember. We also have, on the third Friday in September, we have National POW MIA Recognition Day. And that falls on the third Friday in September every year. And on September 17th, we have Constitution Day, which is also known as Citizenship Day. And then on the last Sunday in September, we have Gold Star Mother's Day. Again, another one, folks, to really take a moment and honor those fallen and their family members.
Outstanding. All in September.
Yes, sir. All in September.
You know, I feel like you guys should come in at the beginning of every month and remind us about those dates.
I think that would be a great idea.
I think that should be a thing we have on the show. And I know Carl would love that. Beginning of the month, so we don't miss any, right?
Yes,
I mean, we all remember Patriot Day.
Oh, right? Yes.
That's a big deal in everybody's life. But POWMI Recognition Day?
Very important.
That's very, very important.
Yeah.
Constitution Day, also known as Citizenship Day. When did that come about? I can honestly tell you I'm not sure I ever heard of it.
Well, it is to honor the signing of the Constitution, and that's why it's on September 17th.
Also known as Citizenship Day.
Right.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. And Christine brought me a small copy of the United States Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, which
I thank you. You are welcome.
I cherish this gift, yeah. It seems like a few times in my life I have gotten small copies of the Constitution like this, and then they hang around, they get dog-eared, they get leafed, pages come out of them. I think the last one was in the console of my truck, right? Mm-hmm. Good place for something like this so you can pick it up and read it at will. And then I guess, I don't know, maybe it got thrown away or maybe it just disintegrated in there with all the other stuff that, you know, starts to smell and my wife complains about.
I have a box full of those constitutions. I ordered the wrong amount. I got far more than I thought I was going to get. So if you ever need more, ever want to hand them out to your guests or keep them on the desk, let me know.
I think that's fantastic, and I don't think you ordered the wrong amount. I think you ordered just the right amount.
Absolutely.
So that I could have one.
There you go.
That's great. So you are the vice president of membership and poppies.
Membership, poppies, secretary, and public relations and advertising.
Oh, that's how you got here, maybe.
That's how I got here.
Fantastic. I'm very, very happy about that. So give me an idea of what it, now you've got a post, 197.
Yes.
So, post 197, give me an idea of a day in the life of post 197. What is happening at post 197 every day?
Every day, just taking care of our veterans.
I love it.
The ones that need it, especially the down and out, try to help them out.
You guys have a service officer there?
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, good. Perfect.
Celestine and Trevor.
Good.
Our service officer, who used to be the VSO for Shasta County.
Oh, Celestine is there right now. She's part of 197?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, she has been for years, but now she's full-time with us.
Service officer down there.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah. I'm a fan of hers.
Yeah.
I'm a fanboy.
Yeah, she did a lot. It's too bad the way things went around with our government.
When she took over the VSO as a VSO, I really liked what she did with the office.
Oh, she's done a lot of things.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah, she's good. Now she's going to be my VSO as well as adjutant.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, good morning, yeah. Celestine. I know I haven't seen you in a while, but yeah. I just want you to know that I always appreciated you.
We meet the first Tuesday of every month at the Vets Hall there on Yuba Street at 6 o'clock. So come and join us.
Oh, okay.
Please.
Right there in the Veterans Hall.
At the Veterans Hall.
Did not know that.
Well, if I can interject for just one moment, if you're not familiar with the American Legion family, both the American Legion and the American Legion Auxiliary have been around for over 100 years. Both organizations were created in 1919, coming off of World War I. So we have long had a service of helping our veterans, military members, and their families in multiple ways. Just the American Legion Auxiliary alone has nearly 1 million members nationwide. So you can go to different states, different cities, different counties, and find an American Legion post or auxiliary in your area.
Of course. Fantastic. So I believe, I'm thinking hard in my history background, I believe that Teddy Roosevelt Jr. had something to do with the founding of the American Legion. Correct? Wasn't it in Paris?
They did have their first meeting in Paris. You are correct. And that was for the American Legion. That is correct.
Yeah, I think it was Teddy Roosevelt Jr.
That.
Yeah, we can look it up on the break. That'd be cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Teddy Roosevelt Jr. because, you know, he fought in it. World War I and World War II. He helped found the Boy Scouts and worked for American Express and did a whole bunch of stuff, you know. His father was president and all that. So very interesting. We will look that up on the break and have a talk about that. You know, Christine handed me a document here. And it looks like it's a mission statement, kind of. Talks about what the American Legion family does in our community. And I just want to read it, okay? It says, a cornerstone program of the American Legion Family Post 197, Redding, California, our VA...
NR.
VA NR provides an opportunity to honor and support our veterans. We volunteer support at our local VAVS Veterans
Association.
Blank. Yeah.
First one to come up with it gets a prize.
Let me see what she handed you.
Local VAVS Hospital.
It's the Veterans Hospital.
Yeah, Veterans Hospital and Clinics. Veterans. I wonder what that
is. I think you meant VA.
Hospital clinics, providing rides to shopping, medical appointments, etc. We help with financial emergency needs. We also offer information on veterans' benefits and where to receive that information. We participate in a local stand-down, providing volunteers where needed, collecting items such as food, clothing, etc., support local recovery homes. Personal needs of veterans in the recovery homes. We're listed with the VA clinic, local senior programs, America's Finest, and the VSO in town for special needs that arise. We are a flexible group and try to fill the needs as presented. So the bottom line is, the way I'm reading this is it's a support group for all veterans, and it doesn't really matter what the work is. What we need as a veteran, you guys are going to try to support it.
And we have a lady who does that on a daily basis, Pam Wolbert. She is absolutely amazing at what she does.
She has
to help our veterans.
An absolute passion.
Very passionate about it.
She's
a Vietnam Agent Orange widow, and like I said, that's her passion right there is the Vietnam and the Agent Orange, but she just does a wonderful job.
Well, Pam, good morning, and I thank you for that. I thank you and all of the American Legion family who supports our veterans. You know, people always ask me, not daily and publicly, but everyone wants to know why veterans get so much support. Why have so many veteran support groups? Why we talk about them first? Why is everybody so upset about a homeless veteran? Right? And I'm going to tell you why. It's because they paid it forward. They were there first.
They paid that price.
First. They were there first, right, for us. Unlike others, who are still great, but veterans definitely paid it forward, and it's one of the reasons why we have so many services and so many volunteers who gladly support them.
And that is as it ought to be, folks.
Absolutely. Yes. Let's talk about that a little bit more after this next break. Ted Leidy, Free Fire Radio, here with Christine, Anne Marie, and Mr. Richard Raker and Rocky. We will see you after the break.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Attention veterans and active military personnel, this is Chris Kellstrom, your District 5 candidate, and I'm having a fundraiser Thursday, September 8th at the fairgrounds. We owe you all a debt of gratitude that can never be repaid. I want to invite you all for a free tri-tip dinner from Rockin' Peas Barbecue. Bring your VA card or military ID to Jonesport by September 2nd. Freedom isn't free, and because of you, we still have freedom. Come for the dinner, stay for the auction and gun raffles. Remember, pre-register by September 2nd. Hope to see you all there, and I thank you for your service. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor. Attention Shasta County hunters, hunting season is here. This is Chris Kellstrom, District 5 candidate and a hunter myself. I'm holding a fundraising dinner Thursday, September 8th at the Anderson Fairgrounds. I'd like to invite all licensed hunters to attend free. Enjoy a tri-tip barbecue from Rockin' Peas Barbecue and get a chance to win a gun. Bring your license to Jonesport by September 2nd and pre-register for a free tri-tip dinner. Stay for the auction and the raffle where multiple guns will be given away. Doors open at 4, dinner at 6:30. Remember to pre-register by September 2nd. Hope to see you all there. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Hey, y'all. Are you a chicken fried steak fan? You're going to want to stop over at Black Bear Diner, where they've just introduced four new ways to love your favorite. Try the kitchen sink omelet. Three eggs loaded with veggies, chicken fried steak, cheese, and country gravy. Or a new take on a crispy sandwich. Crispy or spicy, piled high with goodies, and crispy chicken fried steak. If pasta's your game, they've got you covered with smooth fettuccine alfredo topped with chicken fried steak. Now serving for a limited time. Black Bear Diner.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
There's a port on a western bay, and it serves a hundred ships a day.
I love me some brandy. How did you know? That's fantastic. All right, so two things. On break, Anne-Marie, you looked up some very fun facts about the American Legion and some other things, GI Bill. Why don't you share those with us now?
Sure. Well, as you know, the American Legion and the American Legion Auxiliary were both founded in 1919. So during the 20s, they got to work right away. During the decade of the 20s, both the American Legion and the Auxiliary, they put out national programs that still benefit us today, like the Poppy program, which raises money for our disabled and hospitalized veterans. During the 20s, there was also the establishment of the United States Veterans Bureau, now known as the Veterans Administration, and the first flag code, which was drawn up by the American Legion. Now, it wouldn't be until 1942 that Congress would adopt that flag code. So now we're headed into the 1940s, and during World War II, the American Legion Auxiliary helped the Red Cross with mobile blood donations and created the Emergency Volunteer Committee that helped during those volatile years. Also during the 1940s, the American Legion created the Servicemen's Readjustment Act, also known as the GI Bill, which benefited returning GIs from World War II. It was signed into law by President Franklin D. Roosevelt in June of 1944, soon after the D-Day invasion of Normandy. That same year, the American Legion Auxiliary created its rehabilitation program for disabled veterans.
There you go. Fantastic. And we also looked up Teddy Roosevelt Jr.'s role in the American Legion. I found an article here. It says, why wasn't Teddy Roosevelt Jr. the first national commander of the American Legion? It says, Theodore Roosevelt Jr. is often considered the founder of the American Legion. He rejected that description, once saying, no one can claim to be the founder of the American Legion. At the formative St. Louis Caucus in May of 1919, as the organization was taking shape, he was nominated to serve as the Legion's national leader. He withdrew his name as veterans chanted, we want Teddy, we want Teddy, we want Roosevelt. The son of the 26th U.S. president explained himself, and in doing so helped establish a philosophy that still runs through the organization. I wish to withdraw my name from nomination for a number of reasons. The first is that I want the country at large to get the correct impression. We are gathered together for a very high purpose. I want every American through the length and breadth of this land to realize that there is not a man in this caucus who is seeking anything for himself personally, but that he is simply working for the good of the entire situation. Roosevelt was content to serve on a number of National Legion committees, including the Committee on Civil Service Preference, the Committee on Distinguished Guests, and the National Defense Committee. In 1949, 5 years after Roosevelt died of a heart attack after coming ashore at Utah Beach on D-Day, he was named a past national commander of the American Legion. So, you know, I don't know if you knew that, but Teddy Roosevelt Jr. died soon after he invaded Normandy, or there's, soon after he landed on the beach.
Lot of great history there.
Oh, yeah, I love Teddy Roosevelt Jr. Carl and I put together presentations that we went around and gave at different organizations, and we actually went on a cruise and did the presentation on a cruise, a British Isle cruise, and we went to Normandy Beach. And so mine was on Teddy Roosevelt Jr. I had no idea what I was getting into. I don't even know how I ended up with it, to be honest with you. But he said, we were supposed to do presentations on what it was like to be a soldier in World War II, right? Because I'm a parachutist, and so, you know, there's a lot of parachuting going on on the invasion, or the D-Day invasion. So, I ended up with Teddy Roosevelt Jr., I forget how. But I just loved it. Every time I turned a page on the thing, it was so interesting to me to find that. Here is somebody who could be, you know, politically elite, right? His father was the president. But back in the early 1900s, to be elite, you actually had to do something, right, for the country. And so they all paid it forward. He had a brother that was killed in World War I. He was injured in World War I so badly, walked with a cane the rest of his life, even during his service during World War II. After World War I, he went out and became a bigwig for American Express. He continued to help found the American Legion. He did all these great things. And then World War II started, and he went back. And he took a commission and started fighting. He fought with Patton. And then he was deployed back to England, where they got ready for D-Day. So, and then, of course, he stormed the beach with his son, who was also a commander, And they fought for about a week or two, and he died of a heart attack.
My grandfather served in World War II in the Army, and there's a reason why they are called the greatest generation. Absolutely true, folks.
It is amazing. And, you know, it bothers me when, it really bothers me when politicians will try to box them up now and mm-hmm. push them to the side because, you know, their voting power is getting smaller and smaller as they get older. And so they don't talk about them or focus or highlight them like they should, like we have my whole life, you know.
Right.
Now, here's something interesting that I think about quite a bit. When I was in school, a World War II vet, right, was my age now, right? Mm. When I was in high school, you had a dude that went in when he was 17, right? 40 years later, he was 57. So history, although it seemed like forever ago, is not that long ago, if you think about
it. It's all about perspective.
It is about perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm as old as all my friends who had fathers and grandfathers who were World War II vets as they were when I was in high school. So very interesting. 57, yeah. And so we need to lift them up and showcase them as much as possible.
Oh,
as
I absolutely agree.
As far as I'm concerned.
The American Legion was founded, as she said, in 1919. It was founded on the four pillars, being Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation, National Security, Americanism. And one we don't really think about with the American Legion, but children and youth. We were quite a bit with children and youth. And help guide them in their younger days.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, Carl and I, well, we do a lot of children.
Yeah.
Actually, we have our own program, our own hunting program that with the kids we do.
I just wonder what's going to happen now with the, the new bill that this was passed.
Which bill?
I don't know the full part of it or anything, but it's children can't use a firearm.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
I don't know very much. I just heard about it. So
mm-hmm.
that's...
Yeah, that's Assembly Bill 2571.
Yeah.
And it was very insidious to start with.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
We could all be... First off, it's the worst kind of bill because it just shows you how lazy the government can be. They didn't want to enforce it, so they just turned neighbors on each other. Right. It's one of those bills where you can sue your neighbor for $25,000 if you see them, you know, violating this bill, which they made up. Right. And here was the bill. You could not show a child, somebody below 18 years of age, with a firearm. You could not teach a child with a firearm. You could not introduce a child to a firearm. You could not have in your shop a child-sized shirt or hat. If you had a gun shop, because that's firearms related. So, anything to do with a child shooting a gun was off limits in accordance with 2571. So you are exactly right, Richard. Of course, the lawsuit was filed the day it came out because that's just ridiculous. It wouldn't last one day in court. Everybody knows it wouldn't. That's politicians for you in California. And I'm not saying good morning to you. Because I just don't want to, politicians in California.
But the American Legion has numerous programs teaching the proper use.
Of course.
And
of course.
And you won't find them out there shooting up places and people.
Of course not. Our kids that we teach how safe and responsible firearms use don't go shoot. You know what they do? They go to places like West Point.
Yeah.
And they go to fly jets at the Air Force Academy. And they go to college out here and learn how to run Caterpillar tractors for the fire department. And they become CDF captains. That's who our people are, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
and they are the next generation of veterans.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. Now, so then they passed another bill, 160. It's SB, I believe, 160, right on top of AB 2571, that carved out the piece for... teaching hunting and, you know, firearm safety and that kind of stuff. So the bill has since been tempered, right?
I don't know about it. That's a
fun. Yeah. Well, so they passed one, they passed another one right on top of it so that we could do what we need to do as adults. Because, you know, there's a lot of firearms in our towns.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm wearing a firearm right now. People wear firearms all the time. So to have a bill telling me that I can't teach firearm safety in my hometown when I'm an instructor and I've taught thousands and thousands of kids how to tell their parents when they go to a home and there's a firearm laying around, right? I mean, I'm not a tattletale, but I think that's dangerous. That's just how I feel about it, right? This isn't the 70s in Cottonwood where, you know, my dad had guns laying around. I didn't touch those guns. I didn't touch a gun one time in my life. They were 5 feet from me when I'm eating my Captain Crunch, but those guns were off limits.
Yeah.
I would steal a gallon a day of gas out of my dad's 73 Bronco for my dirt bike, but I would not touch those guns. Period. End of story. The kids aren't like, I was afraid of my dad, right? My dad would come unglued on me and, you know, would hurt for days and things would get broken. Not my body, but, you know, things that I own. So that doesn't happen anymore. And so we can't leave them out. We must put them away.
Yeah.
That's the way we do it. We lock them up. You know, there are just a few legal ways to store a firearm in a home with a child or a prohibited person present. And number one is lock them up. And that's not hard to do. Mm-hmm. Right? Nope. So, very, very important that we teach that. Because if we stopped teaching that, well, the problem is, just like you said, Christine, and you alluded to it earlier, they don't know anything about it. If we don't teach them, somebody's going to teach them.
Exactly. I loved my high school in San Francisco. We had an active armory in the basement.
I love that. I bet they don't have it anymore.
Nope.
No.
They turned it into something else. But across from the ROTC room was the armory.
Oh, you know, everybody my age that I talk to, you know, we all had the same kind of high school experience as far as guns go, right? Nobody worried about guns. Guns were just another tool like the hammer that you had in the back of your truck.
We taught that it was our responsibility. Part of the ROTC was if something happened, we took care of business. We showed up as a force.
I love that.
Yeah. They don't do that now.
Well, no, because, you know, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. Ask Ukraine how they, you know, about guns now.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't issue them fast enough because it took them all away.
Yeah.
They couldn't issue them fast enough. So I always tell people that when they start talking to me about guns. Oh, guns this, guns that. I'm like, oh, yeah, ask Ukraine how that worked out for them, taking the guns from the people.
Yeah. You know? We would love to introduce who we are as a group to our youth, our high schoolers, our grade schoolers. So tell your mom and dad, bring you down to the yard sale this coming weekend at the Veterans Hall. Get to know us, get to know some of the things we do. Bring your family members. If you have someone that is a veteran, bring them along too. We are a great support system. And again, the event this weekend is indoors, air conditioned. And we're going to have so many vendors on site. Local author Robin Simmons will be there to sign his books. We're going to have Pampered Chef. We're going to have a stained glass artist. And that's this Saturday, September 10th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And Sunday, September 11th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 1605 Yuba Street in Reading, the Veterans Memorial Hall.
Absolutely love it. You see her? Professional media. Looped us right back in.
I
loved it. So she started, I'm like, oh, I know what we're doing here. I know what we're doing here. That's fine, Anne-Marie. I don't care.
Thank you, honey.
I think it's fantastic.
And anyone, man or woman, that's a veteran, can join the American Legion and help us support what we believe in our Constitution. If you've served one day in the military, you can join the American Legion. It used to be only if you fought in a war, because I didn't count there for many years, even though I was offshore Vietnam. And I was also boarded planes to go into Nam. This is before most people didn't know anything about it. And in 2005, I could join. And now we got that change so that anyone that's served in the military can join the American Legion.
Fantastic. Now, how would they go about doing it? Let's say I had a veteran listening this morning. How could they go about joining your excellent group,
American Legion? Contact any of us veterans that are members.
What's the number? Got a phone number? Or
reach out to us through Facebook. We have actually a Facebook page. It's the American Legion Auxiliary Unit 197. We can take messages on the Facebook page, and we will definitely get back to you ASAP. We would love to have you aboard.
Are you? Is that what you said? Membership?
That's what I do.
And so, are you the one who checks that Facebook page?
Oh, we
yes,
all do.
I do.
We all do.
Mm-hmm.
So, post 197.
The American Legion Auxiliary Unit 197 on Facebook, folks.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. And hopefully you guys get some new members.
Absolutely. Now, that would be fantastic.
Every member is a vote in Congress.
Oh, that's right.
Everywhere. Even if you don't attend the meetings, your vote counts.
When are your meetings? Would you guys meet? You meet once a month?
The first Tuesday of every month. At 6 o'clock at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. Perfect. And you guys will both be there? You guys go to every meeting?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, mostly, yeah.
Outstanding. Yeah. Outstanding. So you've got this going on. Do you guys interface with the post in Cottonwood a lot?
Yeah.
Or not?
They
yeah.
are part of our district. Yes.
They are.
Yes.
Yeah, because I know they're real active.
Mm-hmm. And 720 and... Shasta Lake.
Yeah, I am real familiar with the Cottonwood. Of course, I'm from Cottonwood, so, you know, of the American Legion.
No district, too.
Yeah, they are great people.
Yeah.
Fantastic people there. And I've been in that hall many times.
Well, they will be here at the end of the month, the last Sunday in the month. We have a very special ribbon cutting, and I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you it's bigger than a bread box, and it's going to help us serve our veterans even more. And we are going to have people from Cottonwood out here. We're going to have the entire district, too, here at our house at the Veterans Hall in Reading at the last Sunday in September.
That's the 25th.
Mm-hmm. Sunday
Mark
the 25th.
Your calendar.
Yeah.
Mm. Let me see what I got going on the 25th right now here.
You have us going on.
Yeah. Let me see. I think... Oh, no. Davis, California.
You can't be in two places at once?
No.
What?
I'll have to send you my brother.
Your doppelganger?
Yeah, he looks like me, kind of.
I'll tell you what. If you invite us back next month, we will give you the scoop and have photographs.
Okay,
to share.
Fantastic.
That will work.
I will send that to Carl. I will tell Carl, hey.
And we hope Carl feels better.
Oh, he's not really sick. He's flying he's in a black helicopter someplace over some dark, mysterious land doing reconnaissance. He's got, you know, three young spies with him that look like, you know, foreign exchange students, college age from Sweden. He's got Linda giving him the stink eye, sitting in the jump seat next to the pilots, and they're doing something great and fantastic, I'm sure. So, you know, Carl's not really sick. No, really, he is sick. Otherwise, he wouldn't have called me last night and said, hey, Ted, how about this? I said, sure, I'll do it. It'll be fun. Who's my guest? He said, I'm not sure. RPD for sure. But other than that, did I? You know, we were in Tahoe together last weekend.
Yeah.
And we had a great time. We saw Keith Urban in concert and had a nice dinner there at Gordon Ramsay's and had just a fantastic deal. And coming home, he says, you know, I don't feel that great. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. Well,
too much fun.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Especially when you get his age.
Oh. I am not going to. I hope you're listening, Carl. That's Richard. Yeah. That is Richard. So, Richard and Rocky. What does Rocky ride in on his way down here? Does he have a car seat? Do you strap him in?
He's strapped in, yeah. Most of the time we're riding motorcycles.
I thought I saw you on a motorcycle. That's where I saw you, and that's where I saw him before.
Right. And
nice and mellow.
He's a service dog. He's trained. Service dogs are not otherwise like some in the world. Let's not go there.
I totally got it. I know what you're about to say. Well, I want to thank you, Anne-Marie, Christine.
Thank you.
Richard, thank you for coming down today. It was a fantastic interview. We had a great time. I understand you guys have to get going.
I have one more announcement. Sunday is 9/11.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
The ceremony at the large flag on Bichelle Lane.
That's right.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock at the large flag.
Yes. Be there.
Normally, we have a lot of ride-ins on motorcycles and all kinds of stuff going on there. So that's fantastic. And I know the sheriff will probably be there and the chief. And, yeah, so that's okay. Don't forget.
Very important day.
Yes,
Sunday, 9/11, 7 o'clock, large flag on Bichelle. Thank you for reminding us.
Get there early.
I got it. All right, we're going to take a break. Free Fire Radio, we'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Facing a fierce backlash over remarks widely viewed as divisive, President Biden is again trying to walk back his diatribe about so-called MAGA Republicans.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Those remarks from last week's speech in Philadelphia. Since then, Mr. Biden has drawn fire from Republicans and Democrats, even some members of the media. Now he says there's a difference between those he considers mainstream Republicans, people he says he can work with, and Republicans of the MAGA variety. It's a win for yet another Trump-endorsed candidate.
I am proud tonight to accept the Republican nomination to be your next governor of Massachusetts.
Former Massachusetts state lawmaker Jeff Deal has won his state's GOP gubernatorial primary. He'll face Democrat State Attorney General Maura Healey in November.
I don't know about you, but I am tired of the anger, the vitriol, the division. That's not who we are. That's not what Massachusetts is all about.
The audio from WCVB. Record heat and record electricity use in California. Correspondent Ed Donahue says the state remains firmly in the grip of a searing heat wave.
This heat could feel even more miserable if there are blackouts. Turning up the air conditioning strains the power supply.
Everyone has to do their part to help step up for just a few more days.
Governor Gavin Newsom says run the air conditioner early when there is more power available. Later,
in particular 4 p.m., please turn your thermostat up to 78 degrees or higher and avoid to the extent possible using any really large appliances.
Stocks higher on Wall Street this hour. Right now, the Dow is up 159 points. The S&P better by 20, and the NASDAQ trading 55 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Early Dombeck here from Key City Capital. As a practicing CPA for nearly 30 years, I have found that 80% of your ability to grow your wealth is dependent upon two factors, taxes and investment performance. At Key City Capital, we improve investment performance by diversifying capital into off-market investment opportunities in passive rental real estate and alternatives like asset-backed lending. We recover dollars that clients unnecessarily pay in the form of income taxes, creating a lifetime annuity of savings. We are a sponsor of passive, affordable single and multifamily residential rental investments, which are located in Sunbelt landlord-friendly states. These investments are the top choices in a rising interest rate and inflationary environment. They represent a store of value, protecting your capital from market volatility. Learn how we at Key City Capital can help you ultimately grow your wealth rapidly. Connect with me at keycitycapital.com or give me a call at 817-912-1569.
A leading e-cigarette maker agrees to shell out hundreds of millions to settle a two-year investigation.
33 states and Puerto Rico have extracted a $438.5 million agreement from Juul Labs after an investigation into its marketing, which had been blamed for a surge in underage vaping. Connecticut Attorney General William Tong made the announcement. The settlement, to be paid out over 6 to 10 years, amounts to about 25% of the company's U.S. sales last year. Juul has agreed to refrain from a host of marketing practices. Federal health regulators are still scrutinizing Juul after a court stayed an attempt by the FDA to ban their e-cigarettes from the market. I'm Jennifer King.
Russian President Putin vows Moscow will press ahead with its military action in Ukraine until reaching its goals, and he mocks Western attempts to drive Russia into a corner with sanctions. Putin tells an economic summit that the main goal behind sending troops into Ukraine was protecting civilians in the country's east. News and analysis, townhall.com. Netflix is being asked to remove content considered offensive by some Gulf
Arab nations.
The request was made in the form of a joint statement issued Tuesday on behalf of a committee of the Gulf Cooperation Council. The statement said that unspecified programs contradict Islamic and societal values and principles. Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates each published the statement via their respective governments as well. They, along with Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, and Qatar, make up the Six Nation Council. Netflix did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
Insisting that he is the target of partisan politics, head of the midterm elections, former Trump advisor Steve Bannon says he does expect to be charged soon in a state criminal case in New York. Apparently it has to do with his fundraising for construction of a wall along the southern border. Bannon speaks of a weaponization of the criminal justice system. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back.
And now, Carl and Linda Bott.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Lighty here, and for Carl Bott.
Nobody can replace Miss Linda. But I do have a dashing captain from the Reading Police Department here, Captain Brian Cole. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for coming down today. I know you're probably very, very busy. So you said that you wanted to talk a little bit about the open space that you guys have been working on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just wanted to get, I know we constantly come on and speak with Carl and Linda, kind of give them updates about what's going on with the Reading Police Department. Last month in particular, our big project, and I believe the chief of police was recently on here, was it used to be called Henderson Open Space, but it's been renamed NERPON, and it's the area behind the old Raley's shopping center there off of Hartnell. And we tackled that. That was a major homeless encampment down there. It's been a problematic area for us for the last several years, and we've made attempts to kind of clean it up, but we went all hands on deck with this one and teamed up with several other City of Reading departments to try and clean it and put up fencing. But what we've done is we've gone in there. We actually started about 2 weeks before the cleanup, and we went in there and started giving notice. There were about approximately, we think, 50 homeless individuals that were living down there. We started doing outreach with them, taking services down there, seeing if they were interested in housing, working with, you know, places like Hill Country, the Good News Rescue Mission, and having our crisis intervention response team down there. And we kept hitting it every single day. And by the time we went in there to do the actual cleanup, the majority of the people had left. We were actually able to get approximately 10 people into some temporary housing, which was a success. The challenge is keeping those people, you know, getting them to stay in that,
right,
stable environment. But we ended up cleaning up, I believe the final tally was approximately 205,000 pounds of trash out of there. So they filled up six or seven of those 35, 40-yard dumpsters down there, and the fence is up, and we've had our officers patrolling it in the mornings and throughout the day and in the evenings. And they just started their first tour, I believe, yesterday of it. And if you haven't got a chance to go down there and see it, it's pretty amazing the way they've redone the river and the channel there and the walking bridges. And it really is just a pristine piece of property when you see it kind of at its full potential. And so that's something we're going to be continuing to work on, trying to keep clean. We want it open to the public. We want people to be able to bring their, you know, their families down there, to take the kids down there to fish along the river. And so that's been a huge success for us, and we're really happy with that. Although anytime you clean up a large area, it creates problems in other areas. So
Right. I can understand that. They got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And so I'm very happy that you said about 10 individuals actually went into housing.
Yeah, so when we started the crisis intervention response team, last year, it was kind of new to us, and it's morphed a little bit. And really what we've realized is there are all these individuals out on the streets, they just need to be put into some sort of stable environment. So we have two crisis intervention officers, and they were down there doing outreach, trying to work with programs like No Boundaries to get them into temporary housing and hotels. And that's what those two officers are working on almost every single day right now, as we try and deal with this homeless problem that is a challenge for not only in Shasta County, but obviously a major issue throughout the state.
So a couple things about that, and when Carl told me that you were coming in today, I wanted to congratulate you because it seems like to me that you guys are moving a lot of people into housing and finding them some sort of stable environment, like you said, because it seems like there's a lot less. I'm seeing a lot less of the just everyday loitering, you know, a drug, open drug use and all that kind of stuff on our streets. So congratulations on that. And it might be just a perception thing, you know, because we hear about it more.
It's definitely been a focus. I think with the challenges of the pandemic, and then I believe, you know, the city leadership, myself included, we were kind of keeping an eye on what was going on with Chico with the injunction that was put on them.
Yeah.
And I think we're in a much better position than Chico was to protect ourselves. But at the end of the day, our community wants a safe place to live, and so we're trying to find some balance with helping individuals while still being a proactive enforcement-driven agency. And so that's kind of why we have the, you know, the outreach to try and help with long-term solutions. But at the same time, you know, if people are committing crimes, if they're breaking into businesses, using drugs, then we expect our officers to take them to jail and book them. And that's what the community expects. So trying to have a balanced approach to fixing those problems. And it's it definitely feels like it's endless sometimes. But we have a lot of new officers we've hired. They're very motivated staff. And so hopefully some of that is being seen by the public out there.
Yeah, it definitely is. And in my opinion, I feel like the homeless issue is one of the worst. I mean, it really degrades the quality of life in our community because, I mean, and I don't want to paint with a broad brush here because people are homeless for a lot of different reasons. Let's just agree with that. But having them on the streets walking around your private businesses and having them on the streets sleeping in alcoves and having them on the streets camping, like in my particular situation, you know, right up the street from where we have a business is difficult, you know, and we had to shut off all the water on the outside of our building because, you know, that's where they congregate. Next thing I know, they beat the doorknob off the door and they're in there and three of your officers are with me, you know, clearing out this building. There was nobody in there, obviously, because the alarm went off. But, you know, that kind of stuff will degrade the quality of life quick when they're waking you up at 2:30 in the morning. It's the police department. Hey, we're at your business, right? So, and that really, really causes people to not trust the piece of space that should be safe, you know, parking, places like that, you know. My wife will say to me, in fact, we were just at my business the other day, and my wife will say to me, "Oh, I don't want to get out of sight of the car because I left my purse in there." And I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. But there was no other cars in the parking lot except for us. We were closed, right? We just stopped by to drop something off. So when she's doing that, it means that in her mind, she could lose what is hers in a heartbeat if she doesn't have her hand on it. And that, you know, that's just not the kind of community I want to live in. So I applaud you guys for doing everything you can to get people into an environment that's stable, to enforce the law, like you said, and book them, you know, and run them and get them in that system. But that's not my favorite place for them to be. And I know it's not that's your favorite place for them to be. But, you know, sometimes that's what happens.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody really gets into police work thinking, you know, I want to be a social worker.
Right.
I
mean, absolutely.
Those are two different directions. But the reality is that, you know, we expect our officers to put on that social worker hat at times to try and solve some of these problems.
Sure.
Especially when you're moving them from one area to another. And to just piggyback on what you're saying about wanting to feel safe in the community and wanting not to worry about your property. Totally relate to that, and I deal with that with my family and my kids too. And I teach them lessons when we go into certain areas and not to leave things visible in cars. And some of those issues are created at a much higher level with the challenges we get from the state. But right now we're struggling with obviously accountability and jail space, and that has been a huge challenge for Sheriff Johnson, and I know he's working with the Board of Supervisors, but it's basically been a problem since I became a police officer here in Reading. And so really at the end of the day, we need some sort of accountability, mechanism. Otherwise, people are going to continue to go out and commit crimes.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's no question about that. Until there is an accountability mechanism, you guys are going to just constantly struggle. I mean, And I know your challenges with the state are bail reform and catch and release and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think you guys have, like you said, you don't have that much to do with it. The law is a law. You must work within it. But solutions are out there, and it sounds like you guys are slowly but surely opening that, you know, that yeah. Tom Brady playbook, so to speak, and trying to figure out how to help who you can.
I think as far as the people feeling safe, I mean, right now you see we're downtown right now. There is a tremendous amount of money that is being funneled into downtown construction and projects. And I see downtown growing a lot. And so, you know, from the police department perspective, the chief and the leadership team, and we look at that and we want people to feel safe while they're out in the community. So we're doing a couple things, and I'm happy to talk about that, but we've started up some new units so that we have officers out there that are more committed just to the day-to-day interactions with citizens and not being tied to the radio. So recently, this year, we fired up our downtown or Reading downtown bike team. So we have two of the four positions that are filled right now. So you may have seen some of the social media posts or those officers riding around past your studio. They're either out in cars, on bikes, or ATMUs on the river trail. And we are getting ready here, hopefully around the beginning of October, to start up our Reading PD Park Ranger unit, which is kind of a new concept for us. But basically, we are looking to push four officers out into the community, and their sole job will be to be in the parks. It can be playing basketball with kids. It can be patrolling NERPON, doing enforcement if they need to cite people for drug activity. But they will be in and around all the parks all the time, and we're hoping to have all four of those positions filled by the end of the year, but we're looking to put the first two in October.
When we come back from break, I want to talk about how you're going to fill those positions.
Okay.
Because I know someone might be listening out there that, you know, maybe they're already academy grads and looking for a position. And let's talk a little bit about the hiring process and what it entails for them. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Ted Leidy along with Captain Brian Cole, Free Fire Radio. We'll be right back.
Sunday, Lake Reading Park will be smoking as those crazy yellow-shirted asphalt cowboys fire up the barbecues for their annual Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue Fundraiser. Partake of the finest fire-grilled tri-tipper chicken, salad, cowboy beans, garlic bread, and a beverage. Eat it there, use the convenient drive-thru. Place a bid at the annual live auction between 1 and 3 p.m. Tickets are $12 at the event or pre-purchase for $10 from any Asphalt Cowboy, Pete Martz at Revin and Anderson, or Lulu's restaurant on Pine Street at Cypress Avenue. Lulu's serves great food and drinks at affordable prices 7 days a week. Soup, salad, sandwiches, steak, seafood, and Italian dishes. Everything is made fresh daily at Lulu's. And you can order prime rib any time of the day, plus the very best Bloody Mary in town. Catering and banquet facilities are also available with customized menus to fit your budget. Join us this Sunday at Lake Reading Park between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for the Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
We are in the middle of fire season in California, and we've already seen major fires break out here in the North State. This is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. In Siskiyou County, the tragic McKinney Fire has caused at least 4 deaths and consumed over 60,000 acres. And some of the most dangerous months are still ahead of us. I'm working to improve federal forest management by getting more aggressive in thinning and clearing near power lines to reduce fire risks. We have delivered billions in aid for local disaster recovery and are fighting to stop FEMA from seizing money from fire victims who have received compensation from PG&E. I've also written a bipartisan bill to stop the IRS from taxing people's fire settlement dollars. In July, I offered amendments to federal legislation that would increase funding for water storage and fire protection. My office is here to serve you. Go to lamalfa.house.gov or give us a call. This is Congressman Doug LaMalfa, paid for with official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. My guest this morning, Captain Brian Cole from the Reading Police Department. We're having a great talk about what he's got going on inside the community. On the break, I was talking about how responsive RPD seems to be lately, especially, and he said that they're trying to get them off the radio and on the street more, and it seems like that, and I think it's making a difference, so I appreciate that. Before we go any further, I want to let you know that this segment is brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. Patrick's a good friend of mine, and if you're not getting treatment for work injury because of denials, call Patrick at 530-262-2168 for a free consultation. Work injuries can be life-changing without treatment. You may not recover. The insurance company needs your employer. Have an attorney working hard for them. You need someone fighting for you. Call Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, 530-262-2168. All right. So before break, we were talking about 204 positions for the park ranger program that you guys are initiating, which sounds great. When you guys go to hire for those positions, what's the process? How does somebody become involved, or do you hire internally, or how does that work?
Well, so for specialty positions like that, like the downtown bike team and the park ranger unit or our CERT team, we select from officers that are already hired that have experience. Those specialty assignments are almost kind of like a promotion for them, a new opportunity. But in order to be able to have success filling these positions, you have to have bodies to backfill for.
Sure, yeah.
And so you got to hire employees. And so we kind of took a look at what we were doing about a year and a half ago. We were down probably about a dozen officers. The city was looking to give us some more positions. And so we changed some of our recruiting. We started visiting different academies, and we really ramped up our hiring. And actually, I want to say as of yesterday, we just had three new lateral officers start with us. I think we've hired 40 officers in the last 16 months, which is
incredible.
It's pretty unprecedented. There are challenges that come with a lot of new employees, but in order to have our presence and expand our footprint, we have to have those individuals. So the lateral signing bonus has really helped out a lot. We offered $40,000 for laterals to come from other areas. And it's money well spent because you get a product that has already been vetted, that has already been tested. You get somebody that's coming here from the Bay Area or another agency because they want to live in the community. They don't want to be commuting back and forth to work, and they bring with them a lot of experience. So we've had a lot of success with that, and actually we are very close to being fully staffed right now, which is probably the first time in 4 or 5 years. Seven of those officer positions are in the academy right now, so they're still tied up. We haven't gotten them into the field training program, but we have four that will be getting here in October, and then three more getting here in December. So, but once we get that group, we will be basically fully staffed. And so The other thing that I didn't mention is we are looking to expand how many officers we have responding to calls for service. So most shifts right now are 7 officers and a supervisor, sometimes 2 supervisors. But we're looking to expand that and put an 8th officer on every single shift. Graveyards on the weekend already has 8, so they will go to 9 officers on every shift. And that just gives us more flexibility, better response times, and better customer service for people that are waiting for the cops to show up when something bad happens.
Yeah, there was the, 10 years ago, between 5 and 10 years ago, I know that, you couldn't call RPD, really, because they were so busy that they just weren't coming unless it was dire, I feel like that's changed. I see a lot more cruisers. I see a lot more patrol vehicles on the street.
Well, and a huge difference for us a couple of years back, I guess it's probably been about 5 years back, mm-hmm. was we were able to bring back, under Chief Roger Moore, we were able to bring back our community service officers. We had lost all of them in 2009. And so you had officers that had to handle not only the in-progress calls for service, but, the window smash. And so the call volume just stacked up, and everybody was waiting and waiting, and people were upset because they would call their homes burglarized, and they'd be waiting for 3 or 4 hours for an officer to show up. So the community service officers are kind of like the unsung heroes of our staff, because they enable the officers to go out and give people, the bad people in the community that need our attention, the people that need our focus, that are out trying to victimize everyone. They give them that proactive time to do that. So lots of kudos to the community service officers. They don't get enough credit for what they do.
I met one. And, of course, we talked about my business being burglarized last month, but I met one. And she came, and after, the sworn officers left, she showed up a little while later, and we visited for a while, and she took some notes and asked how much things cost and where they were and, this and that. And, thank goodness that we thought far enough ahead to lock everything up before we leave every night. But, we didn't lose anything really. As soon as the alarm went off, they scattered. From what we can tell, we were there really quickly. I guess the first officer was sitting at the corner of Lake Boulevard and 273 right there. And, I'm like a quarter of a mile from that. So he was there on scene. There was nobody there. So, as she showed up and, oh, Carl, what's happening, my brother? You're looking good, man. You got the Punisher mask on. Got your Keith Urban shirt on. You feel great, and I'm here busting my hump. I know, and you can tell by the, if you've listened to this show, I'm hating it. Yeah, right? I do, yeah.
Thanks, Carl.
I totally got a lot to work with. The service officer was great. And like you said, freeing up those officers to go out and do, to be proactive on the street instead of being reactive. I know being reactive, I've worked in a lot of TONE organizations, and being reactive is a kiss of death.
Yeah.
You just keep yourself running around all day. Nothing ever really gets done. Put enough officers on the street and you get to be proactive.
For sure.
You make contact. And when you make contact, good things happen.
Yeah. And we're fortunate. Some other agencies are having a little bit more of a challenge with staffing right now. And we have great relationships with our other agencies. The chief of the Henderson mm-hmm. Police Department used to be one of our captains. We work very well with Sheriff Johnson. Mm-hmm. It's taken a lot of hard work and focus to get to this point where we're at. So we're hoping we can just keep that momentum going. Staffing for police officers across the country is a major challenge. I mean, you can read, just any newspaper.
Absolutely.
Especially in the major cities right now. But we do have a lot of other positions. I know you're kind of asking about what that process mm-hmm. is. For somebody that's looking to get their foot in the door into law enforcement, we start out, we have an Explorer program, which a lot of our high school kids participate in, which is great. It just kind of teaches them some structure and some basic fundamentals of leadership. My son actually participates in that, and he loves it. And then we have cadets that work for us, and they'll do court runs. They'll respond to traffic accidents. They kind of get some exposure to different things. And then you can put in for an academy recruit position. Right now, we've kind of slowed down on putting recruits into the academy because we've had a lot of success with lateral police officers. And And then we have all our support positions. You know, we have our records technicians, we have our support staff. So we're always hiring. You can check out the City of Reading website. We post on our social media all the time when we're hiring for new positions or when we're putting new officers out on the streets. So if you look at it recently, we've put several new faces out there.
We follow you, of course, on Facebook. And so we see the, and you know, the one thing about it, my wife, I told her that I was coming to do the interview today with you, and she said, "You can tell him that those people look like babies."
Yeah.
I said, "I know." Yeah, they do look like babies, you know, but they are to us, you know. Once you get to be 57,
yeah,
you look back, you're like,
"Yeah." And I'm 42, and
yeah,
and, you
they
know,
look old. They look old.
It makes me feel old, but it's impressive this day and age that we have individuals that are 20, 21, 22 years old. They're still raising their hand saying, "I want to serve." You know, whether it's the military or whether it's law enforcement, I'm a military guy. So, that's always impressive, when you see those very focused young individuals that, you can tell they're going to accomplish something good in life.
You know, people don't realize this, but being a military guy myself, just getting up and getting that uniform ready, that's a job. I mean, you know, making sure those boots look good, making sure your creases are good, making sure everything is measured correctly on your kit and everything is right. And then you go to work, good haircut. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just nuts. The actual extra work it takes to be a cop or a soldier or whatever. So, I appreciate it when I meet someone on the street that just looks sharp, you know, CHP, a sheriff, whatever they are, RPD, doesn't matter. When they look good, I want to tell them, "Hey man, you guys look good. Guys look sharp."
And, that's one of the nice things. We have a gym in our police department, and it's kind of a CrossFit style gym. And it seems like there's almost somebody, always in there working out. And, you know, so that's great. We definitely encourage that, staying fit, looking sharp in uniform. You know, that's all part of the image. During your interactions, I mean, people are judging you. I mean, that's the reality.
They are judging
you.
They're
judging you based off
absolutely
of your appearance when you show up for a call for service, and we want to make a good first impression.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, the uniformity of it, the fitness, you know, all of it, it just makes it, when you show up, you change people's minds. Right? That's the truth, is you change people's minds when you show up looking like that. So
yeah, and it's not even just the citizens, too. You know, I think criminals
that have
been around for a long
that's
time.
That's what I'm talking about,
When somebody shows up and they look like they're fit and they handle business, I think that changes the mindset of whether or not an individual chooses whether they want to run, whether they want to fight,
right,
or whether or not they're going to say, "Nah, I'll let you put the handcuffs on me today and you know, I'll wait for the next person that I want to challenge.
I'm happy to try it on a different day, not today.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it today. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. I'm here with Captain Brian Cole from the Reading Police Department enjoying our interview. Had a cameo visit from Colonel Carl Bott a moment ago. Maybe he'll come back in and bless us with some of his, vernacular. Let's take a break. Free Fire Radio, Ted Leidy.
Attention veterans and active military personnel, this is Chris Kellstrom, your District 5 candidate, and I'm having a fundraiser Thursday, September 8th at the fairgrounds. We owe you all a debt of gratitude that can never be repaid. I want to invite you all for a free tri-tip dinner from Rockin' Peas Barbecue. Bring your VA card or military ID to Jonesport by September 2nd. Freedom isn't free, and because of you, we still have freedom. Come for the dinner, stay for the auction and gun raffles. Remember, pre-register by September 2nd. Hope to see you all there, and I thank you for your service. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor. Attention Shasta County hunters, hunting season is here. This is Chris Kellstrom, District 5 candidate and a hunter myself. I'm holding a fundraising dinner Thursday, September 8th at the Anderson Fairgrounds. I'd like to invite all licensed hunters to attend free. Enjoy tri-tip barbecue from Rockin' Peas Barbecue and get a chance to win a gun. Bring your license to Jonesport by September 2nd and pre-register for a free tri-tip dinner. Stay for the auction and the raffle where multiple guns will be given away. Doors open at 4, dinner at 6:30. Remember to pre-register by September 2nd. Hope to see you all there. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients.
Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the building? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
I got a ticket out here.
Did you?
Yeah. There's traffic citation in Miniman. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Lighty here along with Captain Brian Cole with the Reading Police Department. Having a good conversation on break about red light cameras and what we thought about them. Also, Tana, we read your chat room post, and he did agree with you completely about the right turn signal on Cypress and Hilltop, but that is not RPD's a jurisdiction. RPD would do the enforcement of that if you happen to run that red light. That's city streets from City Reading that does that. The engineers would do that. So, of course, the chief and everybody cares about it, but the city of Reading would need to take that recommendation from you. But thanks for chatting in. I read each and every one of those posts. So, Captain Cole, we were talking first off, we were giving the community service officer some love, which is fantastic. Secondly, at break, you said you want to talk about some new parking enforcement that's going to go on. I think we all need to know about that. I told you, I confess that I had a parking ticket right here outside the studio. It was after 9 o'clock, and, you know, I didn't put any money in the meter or it ran out, whatever. It doesn't matter. I had to pay it. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with parking enforcement.
Yeah, just with all the growth that's happening in downtown Reading, parking has been an issue, obviously, for the last few years down here. That's why they built the parking structure, mm-hmm. and they're kind of revamping everything. But the city of Reading is looking to modernize and kind of get current. The days of getting out of your car and putting quarters in the meters are kind of going by the wayside. So they're going to be switching to more of a digital setup. A lot of the meters that you see in the downtown area are all going to be replaced here, in the coming months. And they're going to go to a system where you can either pay at a pay station or you can actually just download an app on your phone. So if you're a person that's in the downtown Reading area all the time, you can literally just pay off of the app. So you're going to see that change coming here in the next few months. And how that affects the Reading Police Department is, you know, the enforcement in the downtown area has kind of been hit and miss. A lot of the meters have been broken as they've gotten older. They haven't been replaced. You'll see that where some are missing. But as they put these new meters in, we just selected one of our prior cadets for the parking enforcement officer. So you're going to see him in kind of like a small little electric vehicle like you would see in any major city. Driving around, and you know, that'll be his job, is he'll be dealing with the parking meters. We're going to start out, obviously, as we transition to this, with a lot of warnings for the first month or two, letting people know they're parking in an expired meter, to educate them, let them know about the app, put information on their windshield and everything. So we'll give it a bit of time, you know, and then after that, we'll start issuing citations. I know nobody likes getting a ticket on their windshield and everything, so we want to give people as much opportunity as possible to kind of readjust their patterns accordingly. But at the end of the day, you may have someone that parks in a parking metered spot all day long and not pay for anything right now. And that's not fair to the business owners that want people parking in front of their businesses and coming in and out. So we'll tackle that. We'll put information out on social media, and some people will be happy about it. Some people probably won't. But
I do not envy him. Is it a him?
It is. Envy
him.
You know, he's a very calm and articulate individual, and so I think when he's dealing with angry people, he'll do okay.
You sent him to advanced verbal judo? Did you send him to advanced verbal judo? Because he's going to need it.
Yeah.
He's absolutely going to need those verbal judo skills. When I got my ticket, it was only about 6 or 8 months ago. I was right here doing this, and I parked right there. And we never put money in those meters, ever. Like, I've started now, since I got a ticket and I let the system down, I'm a criminal. Next time I go to update my CCW, you know, Sean Page is probably going to say, hey, what about this parking ticket? Are you now a criminal? I'm like, no, I'm not a criminal. I just didn't ever put money in it. So I do now, right? So, you just got to get us used to it. I mean, it's a quarter, you know, a two quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, compared to major cities, the parking is going to still be very relatively cheap. I actually got a ticket in San Francisco right before the pandemic at a Giants game, and I got back to the car like half an hour late.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it was almost a $90 citation. Ooh. And, you know, after you pay for tickets at a Giants game and a few beers and everything.
Add your 90 bucks to that.
It's definitely some salt in the wound after they lose the game. And then you come out and do a citation on the car.
Man, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's a
drag. That's okay, though. Good memory. Yep. Had your kids with you, his wife probably.
So lots of warnings to start out.
Okay. I can deal with that. And you know what? I think that's something. Do you come in every month, or do you come in? Yeah, you come in once a month, right? RPD comes in once a month?
Yeah, usually I think historically we've been here once a month. We kind of rotate through different positions, and somebody's on here, the chief or one of the lieutenants.
We'll have to make sure we do an update on how we're doing on those warnings, and then as we transition to actual citations, you know, that's a big deal, you know, writing that check and putting it in the mail. I think it was $27 or something, which, you know, seems like a lot, but whatever. I guess I'll figure out how to put a quarter in it next time and save myself some bucks. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how the system is. You know, I gripe and complain sometimes when I see, so I was in the Army, right? So I'm a big black and white guy. That's how they program us, right? I did my whole adult life in the Army. I retired, and it's black or white. So I always said that if you don't enforce every rule, then you don't know, you're not drawing the line for the criminals, right? So you seem like kind of a black and white guy too, a little bit to me. And so I'm happy to see that at least you're letting us know and you're drawing that line.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good leadership. That's a good solution.
And we've, with all the, you know, to tie that into the police department right now, that's I just became the patrol captain here 5 or 6 weeks ago, and hitting the briefings, like, that's one of my messages to them is consistency. Like, we treat everybody the same. We treat everybody fairly with respect. Consistency is what I expect from my officers. It kind of ties into that. I do want to talk, if we have a minute, just talk about the challenges of having a very new staff,
All right.
If I could. So that's one of the other things that we've been doing in briefings is, for any business, if you replace the vast majority of your staff in a short period of time, there are challenges that come with that, mistakes that get made, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got the new officers that are backing their patrol car into a fence pole, stuff like that they were kind of dealing with, you know, every week. But that's where mentorship and development is so important. That's where we're really focusing on having our senior staff trying to teach the new generation that's being hired here, the culture, how we do things, you know, the appropriate way to interact with the community. So we're encouraging our senior officers to take a lot of our junior officers under their wings and help them grow and work through problems. And training is a huge focal point as well. Anytime you bring in a lot of new staff, they need to attend a lot of training. They take on specialty assignments. So we actually spent the most we had ever spent last year on training in the history of Reading PD. And we're going to continue to keep pumping money towards training because if your officers are getting good training, then you have a better officer out on the street. They're safer. They take better care of the citizens. And in the long run, the likelihood of you getting sued, you know, for something, a bad decision being made goes down. So
of course,
we look at that as a great investment. So really for the next couple of years, that's going to be the focus, kind of the patrol division is training, mentorship, and development.
Yeah, and that's so important because to train an expert leader, someone who can look at a scenario or a situation and read it instantly and know how much they need to get involved and how much they don't and who's committing the crime and who's not, that's so important.
Yep,
so important, yeah.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a break and then, I want to come back. I have one question I want to ask you, and it has to do with tinted windows. All right. Cause again, I'm a black and white guy. So, we're going to take a break. I've got Captain Brian Cole with me here this morning with the Reading Police Department. We are asking him all the tough questions, no softballs. And he's keeping us updated on that. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
We are in the middle of fire season in California, and we've already seen major fires break out here in the North State. This is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. In Siskiyou County, the tragic McKinney Fire has caused at least 4 deaths and consumed over 60,000 acres. And some of the most dangerous months are still ahead of us. I'm working to improve federal forest management by getting more aggressive in thinning and clearing near power lines to reduce fire risks. We have delivered billions in aid for local disaster recovery and are fighting to stop FEMA from seizing money from fire victims who have received compensation from PG&E. I've also written a bipartisan bill to stop the IRS from taxing people's fire settlement dollars. In July, I offered amendments to federal legislation that would increase funding for water storage and fire protection. My office is here to serve you. Go to lamalfa.house.gov or give us a call. This is Congressman Doug LaMalfa, paid for with official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
This Sunday, Lake Reading Park will be smoking as those crazy yellow-shirted asphalt cowboys fire up the barbecues for their annual Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue Fundraiser. Partake of the finest fire-grilled tri-tip or chicken, salad, cowboy beans, garlic bread, and a beverage. Eat it there or use the convenient drive-thru. Place a bid at the annual live auction between 1 and 3 p.m. Tickets are $12 at the event or pre-purchase for $10 from any Asphalt Cowboy. Marts at Reading and Anderson, or Lulu's Restaurant on Pine Street at Cypress Avenue. Lulu's serves great food and drinks at affordable prices 7 days a week. Soup, salad, sandwiches, steak, seafood, and Italian dishes. Everything is made fresh daily at Lulu's. And you can order prime rib any time of the day, plus the very best Bloody Mary in town. Catering and banquet facilities are also available with customized menus to fit your budget. Join us this Sunday at Lake Reading Park between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for the Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge in the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coach Master has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coach Master, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coach Master apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
All right, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. I'm sitting here with Captain Brian Cole, having a great conversation regarding staffing and the new traffic, new parking enforcement officer that we got coming on that's going to be very happy every day, a verbal judo master. I would like to let you know that this next session is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Northern Firearms Instruction, Ted Lighty, that's me, and his team of professional NRA instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time, I will provide you free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents to take a basic CCW course. How about that? 530-999-1822. Of course, if you're going to apply for a CCW permit, you must have your own firearm to put on that permit. Don't forget that. But for those of you who just want to train, I'm happy to rent you a nice Glock 19. That's the world's finest handgun, for those who are wondering about that. And bring you on down and teach you how to safely and responsibly use a semi-automatic firearm. Northern Firearms Instruction, 530-999-1822. Our next CCW class is on the 17th and 18th of September right at Sportsman's Warehouse. All right, Captain Brian Cole. You wanted to talk about...
Oh, you said you had a question for me about
windows. Oh, about tinted windows. Yeah. That's right. Tinted windows, yeah. So, you know, I told you I'm becoming my father. We all do. And things start to bother us. I don't have any idea why. But when I see tinted windows in town and I know they're too dark, it bothers me. I always thought that we, had the tinted window law for officer safety. And of course it makes sense.
Yeah, that's my understanding is why it originally came about. In particular, I think down in the Bay Area in Southern California, when they would have these drive-by shootings, you would have, you know, these vehicles that would pull up with windows completely tinted. Officers couldn't see in it. They didn't know if they were dealing with armed individuals, and you'd have these shooting incidents. So that's my understanding of kind of some of the original thought process behind it originating.
And we're not being dramatic here, because I know locally officers that have been shot. You know, some of them lived through it, some of them did not. So, it's a real thing. Officer safety is a real thing. So, and I know you don't do traffic. So, you know, I know you don't want to speak out of school because someone does traffic. But we had a nice talk on the break about tinted windows. And I know other people see these tinted windows also and they think, why are these people violating the law openly and nobody does anything about it? But you told me they do. They just take them off and get the fix-it ticket signed off, and then
choose to put it back on if they want. It is a fix-it ticket if you have illegal window tint on there. Basically, I think anything beyond the factory tint that you get when you buy the car, typically from the car lot, usually on the front windows, is illegal. But you can go to any of these tint places and they'll put the dark tint on for you. It's not illegal for them to put it on. It's just illegal to be operating a vehicle with that tint. So, and we could probably stop people all day long with
the tinted windows. Shooting fish in a barrel, isn't it?
Yeah, and I get it. And after days like yesterday, I mean, tinted windows, you get with how hot it is in Reading, people try and keep the inside of their cars as cool as possible. But, The ones I think that probably get our most attention are the ones that are completely blacked out to where right. nobody can see into the vehicle. Those just stand out. You can see them amongst all the other cars.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And the heat, I get it. I have kids that are in their 20s, right? So they're grown adults, and they're fantastic kids. No law violations. You don't know them by name, which is nice. Sometimes they're tent. I know their tent's too dark. And when I get in their vehicle, it feels dark to me inside that vehicle because there's no light coming in hardly.
I actually don't like it.
It feels strange.
I don't know if I'm getting old or what, but
it feels strange.
It does to me.
I want to be able to see better.
Yeah.
My eyes don't gather the light like they used to. But since then they've taken the tint off. I don't know whether I just wrote them about it long enough or whatever. But I see some of the tint and I think to myself, that's an easy, but the problem is, like you said, it's a fix it ticket. I don't know if you guys have any way of tracking how many times, they get a window tint ticket, but like it even matters. Window tinting is my.
Yeah. And there's obviously a plethora of traffic violations every day out there. So I think our traffic unit, we have a sergeant when we're fully staffed. We have four officers in there on motors. We're not fully staffed yet, but we're hoping to do that by the end of the year. But I think they try and focus typically on speed, blowing through red lights, those sort of safety violations. And then when they have time to work on some of that other stuff like window tint, they will. But typically they're working complaints in certain areas where people are complaining about speeding motorists going through their neighborhood, that sort of stuff.
So, yeah, dangerous stuff. I totally get that. But for the community, just as a side note here, in my opinion, contact is a leadership solution. When you contact the community, good or bad, right? You don't have to write them a ticket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just, hey, man, I noticed your tent.
Yeah.
Not today, but maybe on a different day.
Yeah, some of the most positive feedback we get on our people is sometimes just when they have an interaction and they get a warning from an officer.
Yep. Absolutely, because it shows leadership.
Yeah.
I don't have to hammer you for this. You know it's wrong. Let's clean it up, and we'll talk about this later. If I see it again, I'm going to stop you. Which is fine. I get that.
Yep.
But also contact, because you meet and find a lot of people that maybe are wanted. Maybe they have warrants, whatever. When you do that, when you stop them in cars. And if you do it long enough, it becomes self-sustaining because the word gets out. They will stop you.
Yeah.
It's like driving into Oregon with a California plate.
Yeah, and
they will stop you.
I hope that is our reputation in Reading amongst the criminal element, that they know if they're cruising around, particularly, we expect our officers on graveyards at 2 or 3 in the morning to be stopping individuals that are out looking to burglarize businesses, that are, out dealing drugs, doing whatever it is they're doing. Traffic stops are one of the primary ways we end up arresting a lot of our habitual offenders that we're looking for.
The more contact you make, the more they decide they're going to clean it up. Or maybe they'll move. It's their call. They go to a different city where they don't have as much contact. So I remember it was in April. That's a quick story. And I had a buddy out here from Virginia. We were turkey hunting out in Shingletown. And he come out here just to shoot a Rio Grande turkey. And so I was taking him out. We were having lunch or breakfast at the Black Bear Diner. And, he works in law enforcement and he's looking across at that little 76 station right there. What is it? The Circle K? And, he's like, that's a drug deal going on. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sure. He goes, aren't you going to call the police? I said, no, I'm not going to call the police. They're busy doing other stuff. He says, you're kidding me. I said, no, mm-mm. I said, we've got a crazy, sometimes it gets crazy here. Then a guy started walking down the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Directing traffic.
Right? Yeah.
Obviously chemically induced directing traffic. He goes, Ted, I'm calling. I said, go ahead and call. I doubt they're going to come. You guys were there in like 5 minutes.
Oh, well, that's good.
He called from the booth.
Yeah.
He called from the booth.
The challenge with a lot of that is the drug epidemic is just everywhere in the state of California. And, there's, we talked about accountability earlier in your show, but there's, there's no space in the jail, and right now the sheriff's doing the best he can with just keeping the violent offenders in there, and so that is the challenge, and to try and motivate our staff as well when they deal with the same people and they arrest the same people over and over again is a challenge, just because the property crimes and the, you know, I hate to say it, but low-level drug offenses is the way that California views those. It's a challenge, and that's why you're seeing it out in public like that, because they realize there's very little accountability.
Well, I'm, Chef Johnson will be on here next Wednesday, and I'll be hosting that also. So I look forward to talking to him about that. That's a real challenge. I mean, you're talking about closing a whole floor of a jail.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Yeah. And I mean, it's just hard to find people, hard to find good people, and the people that he had, he was writing, you know, they were doing all the overtime and working holidays and all kinds of stuff, so.
Yeah, and I'm friends with several of the people at the Sheriff's Department, and I know it's a challenge for them because sometimes they have to choose, well, who are we gonna kick out of the jail today because RPD's bringing in somebody that, you know, just committed violent domestic violence, you know, and that constant triage and assessment of who they're going to keep and who they're going to let go, I know definitely weighs on them.
Yep. Okay. Quick question.
Yep.
You know, you probably think this dude is nuts. We got to go. I found a wallet with a bunch of counterfeit money in it. You want me to bring it down?
I'm happy to take care of it for
I'll you. Call you. Give me your card.
All right.
It's a true story. I found a wallet with counterfeit money in it.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to take it for you.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, it's been Ted Lighty. With Free Fire Radio, my good friend Captain Brian Cole from Reading Police Department, one of our community warriors. I will talk to you soon. There's two types of people. Which one are you?
I think you know.
We know.
All right, have a good day.
Later, you bet.
Won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging.
KCNR, Shasta. Reading.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.